MacCast, Monday, March 14th, 2005. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Well, hello everybody. I have got to figure something out because it is about 12:40 on Tuesday, so it's actually not even Monday anymore, and I am just getting around to starting this podcast. It's getting extremely popular, and I'm getting a lot of email, which I really, really love, but it's making it take longer and longer to do the show prep. So I don't know. I'm going to have to get some help or something. I just don't know, because recording these this late is kind of getting wearing on me, I guess I should say. I think some of the illnesses I had a couple weeks ago are part of it. So on tonight's show, I'm going to try and move quickly through it, so the quality may not be the same, and I apologize for that, but I got to get this thing in the bag and get to bed. So Apple is rumored to be in talks with a company called HipSolve Media, or HipSolve Media. HipSolve makes a program called iHoopla, which is a Windows-based software, and what it does is it allows the music labels and publishers to distribute music directly to customers with digital rights management included in it. So what it essentially does is cuts out any need for middlemen distributors like the iTunes Music Store. It makes it so the record labels can sell directly to consumers with files, downloadable music files that have DRM built right into them. So obviously Apple's very interested in, let's just say, you know, the rumor is blocking this company from, you know, having their technology out there. And to that end, apparently Apple has made a $3.6 million offer to acquire the company. So the speculation on Apple's interest is that this is a blocking maneuver to keep the technology out of the hands of the large record labels to prevent them from directly selling DRM'd music to consumers. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Obviously, it's good for Apple to block technology like that. I don't know if it's good for consumers. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. I think it's probably not a good idea from a consumer perspective. But, you know, personally, I really like the iTunes Music Store. I think it's a great service. I use it. I buy my music on there, download it, sync it to my iPod. And I love it, so I'd like to see it stay around. And, you know, if that's what Apple needs to do to stay competitive in this market, then I guess that's something they need to do. We can debate on all the other issues. If you want to make comments on it, send me email or MP3 feedback, maccast@gmail.com. Okay, next, there's big news. If you are a gamer on the Macintosh, Doom 3 has shipped. Aspyr has announced that they've shipped Doom 3 for the Macintosh, and it should be in stores on March 19th. So Apple's having a little bit of trouble with a company in Taiwan who is basically just ripped off the iPod Shuffle. The company is called LuxPro, and at the CeBIT trade show in Germany, they announced a product called the Super Shuffle, which is an exact clone of the iPod Shuffle. There's a link from the show notes to the company's website if you want to take a look at this thing. But basically, it's identical in size and shape to the iPod Shuffle. The buttons on the thing are absolutely identical. It has the little round scroll wheel, not scroll wheel type buttons, but, you know, the round orientation of buttons, just like the iPod Shuffle. The one thing they did do is they added voice recording and an FM tuner to the Super Shuffle. They were so blatant about it that they even ripped off Apple's branding and advertising with the brightly colored posters with silhouetted figures on them. So, you know, this company, I don't know. I think Apple just needs to go after them and go after them hard, because I think it's completely ridiculous what they've done. Apple's lawyers are saying that they are in the process of weighing what their legal options are, but you know, I want to see them just crush this company. It's just, yeah, the ripoff is so blatant. And if you haven't seen it, go over to MacCast.com, go to the show notes, and click on the link. You guys will be just floored at what this company has tried to pull off here. Another recent rumor that's appearing in the news is in regards to iTunes is that Apple may be considering offering an iTunes subscription model to compete with the Napsters and the other subscription type music services out there. And something happened today to support that rumor. Apple hired a former Microsoft executive. Julia Miller worked in the Xbox Live group and has been hired on to Apple, and there's no official word on what her official title is or her official job responsibilities are, but a lot of people are speculating since Xbox Live was a subscription service or uses a monthly subscription model that she's being brought on board to help with that effort for iTunes. We will just have to wait and see on that one. So that's it for the Mac news for today. Not a lot going on. But there is a lot going on from MacCast listeners. I am getting, just like I mentioned at the top of the show, a ton of feedback, and I really appreciate it. Keep it coming. I know I mentioned that it's getting a little bit overwhelming, but I love it, and I need it to keep coming to keep the show going and keep it interactive the way I like it. So don't be afraid to keep sending me that stuff. Just know, up until recently, if you've sent me an email, you'll notice I've been pretty good about responding to every email. I'm just going to let you know that I may not be able to respond to every email, or it may take me a little longer to respond to emails and comments. And then also, if you do send audio files, pretty much to date, I have been playing almost every comment that I get on the show, and that may need to change as well. It's just, like I said, taking too long, so I'm going to have to start to be a little more selective about the comments and feedback that I respond to and play on the show. I will try to just at least respond to your emails if you have a question. It just may not make it into the actual audio file of the show, so I just want to say it up front. So with that said, let me jump into all the great feedback that I've been getting. First thing I got was from a listener, Peter, and I wanted to share this with you. It's actually a music file that he put together, and I wanted to share it with you because it really shows off, I think, one of the great things about Apple and the Macintosh and how easy they make it for us to indulge our hobbies or our interests, even though that may not be our primary job. Podcasting, you know, doing this show is a good example of this. You know, I'm obviously not from a broadcasting background. I didn't work for radio, but just with my Macintosh and some very simple equipment, I'm able to put this show together and get it out to you. And Peter has done something similar. He is a investment advisor and financial publisher in the Silicon Valley, California, by day, but at night he's a closet musician, and he gets together with his friends and he plays drums, and he also puts together little music tracks using sound loops or Apple loops from in Apple's program Soundtrack. You can also do this in GarageBand. So I just wanted to play this track for you, let you hear it, and see what someone can do, you know, just with their Macintosh, just with some simple software. You can indulge, you know, all your fantasies of being a rock star. So here's Peter's track. It's called Set Me Free. Okay, so there you have it. Set Me Free, and it's from listener Peter. It's obviously, you know, not going to be the next hit chart topper, but it really does show what you can do with just some, you know, simple tools for your Macintosh. For those of you who aren't familiar, if you have GarageBand or if you have the iLife 05 suite, Apple provides a bunch of little sound loops of different instruments and different genres and styles and things like that. And basically, you can just use those, assemble them together, and create your own music. You don't even need any instruments or need to know how to play or anything like that. It's really fun to play around with. So if you you want to try that out, you might want to take a look at GarageBand. You can also do it with Soundtrack, which is Apple's higher-end product for doing similar type things. Anyway, check it out. Okay, next, I had mentioned that Apple is having issues with their new trackpad technology on mostly the 12-inch and the 15-inch new PowerBooks. They added a ability to do scrolling on the trackpad, and the way you did that was you used two fingers on the trackpad, and then you could do vertical and horizontal scrolling. The trackpad would actually recognize that you were using two fingers versus one finger. Apparently, there's been a lot of problems with that technology, and people are reporting having multiple issues with their trackpads on those models. But another listener, and I'm going to probably mutilate his name here, Jeroen, and I'm sorry, it's spelled J-E-R-O-E-N, sent me a link to a product called iScroll 2, which is a modified trackpad driver that allows you to add two-finger scrolling capabilities to older PowerBooks and iBooks running OS 10.3. And I believe it supports all the aluminum PowerBooks and all of the G4 iBooks right now. So there's a link from the show notes if you want to check this out. But basically, it gives you the ability to do that two-finger scrolling on the older model iBooks. And they also have it, I was reading an interesting feature where you can actually do circular scrolling. So by taking two fingers and making a circular motion on your trackpad, similar to the iPod's scroll wheel, you can also do scrolling that way. I took a look. I have not tried the software myself. The installer seemed pretty simple, but if you want to uninstall it, there are several files that you have to manually remove. So there's not really an easy way to clean way to uninstall it. So just be warned up front. It's probably for a little more technical or a little more advanced users who want to play around with something like that or want to get this new scrolling feature on their older PowerBook or iMac. And it is also affected by, there's a Firefox issue, and this affects Apple's new scrolling trackpads as well, but there are instructions on the webpage that's linked from the show notes that tell you how to modify the Firefox configuration file to bypass that scrolling issue. Next, we had some answers to listener David's question. He had sent in and asked about a way to charge his iPod through the USB port on his PC while he was at work. He didn't want to actually sync up the iPod to his work PC, but he wanted to be able to just charge it. And a couple of listeners sent in some information on how to hack a USB extension cable. So they recommended getting a USB extension cable and then cutting the two wires that actually provide the connection, the syncing connection, and leave just the two wires intact, the power wire and the ground. And basically the way you would do that, and I'm going to give out these instructions. I am accepting no responsibility if you do this, so be forewarned. You do this at your own risk. I'm not recommending that you do this. I'm just sharing the information, so you can use it if you want, but you know, I personally wouldn't do it on my iPod. But here's what you do. Get a USB extension cable. So just don't cut the cable that came with your iPod. Get an extension one. And then you remove the outer layer of shielding, and you should see four wires in there. They are going to be a red wire, a brown wire, a yellow wire, and a blue wire. The red wire carries the power, and the brown is your ground. So you want to leave those intact. and you will cut the blue and yellow wires, which are the ones that carry the signal for syncing. And then what you're left with is an extension cable. So then you would plug one end into your PC port, and then on the other end, plug your iPod cable into that, and that should just bring power to the iPod and not do any of the syncing. Now, I, like I said, personally probably wouldn't follow these instructions because I got some other great tips from a couple of other listeners. Dahlia said that when you actually eject your iPod, so hook in your iPod, and then it will mount on the desktop or try and, you know, mount in iTunes. If you just eject it from the desktop, and I'm not sure how to do this on the PC. On the Mac, it gives you a nice little icon you can click on. But when you eject it, the iPod will, the message that normally says, do not disconnect, will go away, and the iPod will go into its regular mode where you can play music on it, and it will continue charging. So that seems like the best way to accomplish what David wanted to accomplish. Makes it very, very easy. Another suggestion came from Danny, who says that if you actually hold down the Command and Option keys in OS X or the Shift, Control, Alt keys on Windows when you plug in your iPod, it will actually stop it from syncing with iTunes. It'll stop any synchronization or connection to iTunes, and it will not link to your iTunes music library. He's not sure if you will still need to unmount it, but it should then leave your iPod connected in a state where it will actually charge. So I haven't tried that one personally myself, but this is another thing to try. I would recommend trying the second two options before you go out and hack a USB cable. And actually, I'm really surprised. I did a lot of searching online to try and find a cable that just carried USB power but didn't do any of the data portions. And I couldn't find anything. So if anybody knows a company that sells just a cable, a USB cable that carries power but does not do any of the computer syncing, please let me know, maccast@gmail.com, and I will forward that on to David as well. Okay, here's another little iTunes issue that was brought to my attention by Sebastian, and this is actually something that I personally have a problem with, and I haven't come up with a solution with, so I'm going to throw it out to everyone and see if anybody has a good way to fix this. If you have an iPod and you use iTunes, you, I am sure, are affected by this issue, and it probably annoys you as much as it annoys me. When you connect your iPod to your Macintosh and you have iTunes running, or you have it launch iTunes on Connect, what happens is the focus in iTunes jumps from your iTunes music library to the iPod. So now the iPod is selected. So if you hit play in iTunes, it's now going to play the music directly off your iPod and not the music out of your iTunes library. And what we're wondering is, so both Sebastian and I are wondering is there any way to prevent that from happening? Some sort of setting or some sort of configuration file that you can modify that will keep the focus on the iTunes library even when you connect an iPod. So if anybody knows that, please send an audio comment or email to maccast@gmail.com and let me know, and I will share that with everybody else, because I find it really annoying when I go to hit play and I think I'm playing my iTunes library and it actually starts playing tracks off my iPod, which is not what I want. All right, next I have a couple answers to, I believe last show, we talked about Lance, who was having trouble with a Linksys router and his DHCP settings. Basically, he would connect his Mac through the Linksys wireless router using an airport card. I can't remember if it was an airport or airport extreme, but basically the Linksys then would not assign the Macintosh an IP address, a valid IP address. It would actually connect to the Linksys router, so it would be on the network, but he wouldn't be able to get out on the internet. And we were looking for some solutions for that. A listener, Dennis, recommended running repair permissions using the Apple Disk Utility to repair permissions on the hard drive on the laptop. So that was one thing to try out. And then another listener, Jim, mentioned that he had a similar problem, and it turned out to be a encryption level mismatch between the base station, so the Linksys, and the iBook itself. And he was saying that the base station had a higher level of encryption set on it than the PowerBook did. So he recommends checking those settings and make sure that they are in sync. So if anybody else has another solution, please let us know. But those were the two recommendations that I had so far. Okay, next I need to make a slight correction on something I said on the last show. I mentioned that CNET was reporting that Microsoft had discontinued or was going to discontinue at the end of this month their MSN service for Macintosh. So that's the dial-up service if you can subscribe to and get internet access through Microsoft using their MSN service. That turns out to be not 100% correct. Microsoft is actually discontinuing the Mac version of their MSN browser, which is an easy way, quick way, I guess, to access the services they provide on MSN. They are not discontinuing the actual MSN dial-up service. You'll still be able to purchase that. And Richard was the listener who pointed that out to me. So basically, all the services are still available to Mac users. It's just you're going to have to use your own regular browser, either Firefox or Safari, whatever you choose, to access the MSN network and the MSN services. MSN is basically just not going to be providing their custom software to Mac customers anymore. So I just needed to make that correction, and I thank Richard for pointing that out. Okay, next I wanted to make some comments and make a recommendation for any of you out there who are considering purchasing a Mac. Maybe you're a switcher, and I want to talk to you guys about AppleCare, which is a service Apple offers. Every new Mac that you buy comes with 1 year of AppleCare built into the cost of the system. And that means that if you have any problems with your machine hardware-wise, you can take it to an Apple-authorized reseller or to your local Apple store and send it in for repair, and Apple will correct the issue free of charge. Basically, they'll cover the costs. And then you can also extend that by purchasing AppleCare on top of it. I have a link from the show notes to Apple's AppleCare website so you can see the pricing. I think it's like $149 for the Mac Mini and possibly the iPods, and $249 for the other Macintosh models. And that will basically extend your AppleCare warranty for 2 more years. So your total coverage on AppleCare will be 3 years. I cannot recommend enough that if you're buying a new Mac, you get this service. I used to not buy it. I was one of those people that just figured I was covered under the year warranty. And I would say, especially if you're buying a laptop, you're really going to want this service because they're going to cover any costs or issues, things like this trackpad issue. If you're having that with your PowerBook, you can take your PowerBook in, tell Apple you're having the trackpad issue. They will send it in and most likely replace the trackpad with a newer model, one that's been fixed, and you will get it right back. And if you have an Apple store near you, I highly recommend taking it there because I had several issues with an iBook G3, and I had to send it in, and a couple times they did a logic board replacement. One time they replaced the optical drive, and every time I sent it in, I had the machine back within 3 days fixed. So Apple does an excellent job with their AppleCare service, and they cover you really well as long as you have it. Now, I will tell you that once you are off AppleCare, all bets are off in terms of the types of service you're going to get from Apple. And I think this is actually kind of a problem, one of the downsides. But that's why I'm recommending you get AppleCare. It will save you a lot of headache and hassle, and especially with laptops, the LCD screens after a number of years may start to have issues, and it's definitely, if you start having LCD issues, they're definitely probably going to occur in your second or third year, and the cost to replace an LCD screen is going to be, you know, almost probably the price you paid for the machine. So it's well worth making Apple cover those charges for you. So I would recommend AppleCare to anybody buying a brand new Mac. Oh, and for those of you who recently purchased a Mac, you can still purchase AppleCare as long as you're within your first year of having purchased your machine, and so you can continue to be covered. So if you're a new switcher and maybe you didn't get AppleCare and now you're thinking about it, you still have time as long as you're still covered under your first year of AppleCare service. Okay, finally tonight I want to tell you guys about a piece of podcasting software, a podcast client that maybe you haven't heard of or you haven't checked out. It is called PlayPod, and it is from IG Software. There's a link from the show notes. I have personally not had an opportunity to actually test it out, but it looks very promising. It has some great features. A couple of them are the ability to auto-convert your files to bookmarkable AAC format files. We talked about a little bit about that on the last show. That's also a feature iPodder X offers. It has the ability to give you podcast previews, so you can listen to little clips of podcasts before you actually download them. You can actually schedule your downloads on PlayPod. So if you don't want to have your machine always, you know, checking to see if the latest podcasts are out there, if you want to just have it maybe check in the middle of the night while you are asleep, you can schedule the downloads. So it looks like some really great features. I will try and get an opportunity to check it out and maybe give you a more of a formal review. But the reason I am recommending you check it out is I am familiar with IG software from another program that they make, which is called iBiz, and it used to be called iWork. And it is a time and billing software and also handles invoicing. And I found this software because I was looking for a solution. I did not want something like Quicken QuickBooks. That was a little more than I needed for my time and billing. I do some freelance work, and I don't do a lot of it, so I didn't need a real heavy application for doing invoicing and billing. So I wanted something simple, and I looked around, and I found it was called iWork at the time, and it is a truly great piece of software. It's nice and simple, does everything I want. You can set up templates in RTF format for your invoicing, which including logos, and it just keeps track of my freelance business in a real simple, easy manner. Integrates with iCal, integrates with the address book, and just does a really great job. So check that out if you're looking for that type of application. It's called iBiz, and it's igsoftware.com. And then also check out their PlayPod. And if somebody else out there wants to do an audio review of PlayPod, if you've been using it and you really enjoy it, send that in, and I'd love to play any reviews from MacCast listeners. So if you have a great piece of software, a great piece of hardware you want to review, send it to maccast@gmail.com. Just send me an MP3 file. Again, the only thing I ask is you try and keep your reviews to 2 minutes or less, just so we don't eat up the entire show with one review. All right, that's going to be the show for tonight. Please check out the new MacCast feedback site, mcfeedback.blogspot.com. Over there, you can leave audio feedback that anybody can listen and respond to. There's full instructions on that website on how to leave an audio comment. Visit maccast.com for the full show notes and links to everything that I talk about. You can send an email to maccast@gmail.com, and you can also call the audio call-in hotline, 206-222-2788. All right, tonight I'm going to leave you with new music. A listener turned me on or sent me information about this band. They are another band on garageband.com. It's called, the name of the band is Winkle, and the track is called Where Would You Go? Hope you enjoy it. Check out the band's website. There's a link from the show notes. If you buy their CD, let them know that you heard them on the MacCast. And I will see you all next time. Out on your own.
someone.